What's happening, Star Wars type people? Welcome to the Star Wars Report, episode 36. I'm one of your hosts for this particular episode, Riley Blant. I'm so glad you decided to tune into this podcast. You clicked play on that MP3 player. I'm looking at you. And we do thank you for tuning in, giving us your time as we try to entertain. I didn't even get a chance to entertain. Old SNL quote. Also joining us is Bethany. Welcome to the show.
I'm busy dancing.
And also coming in on this episode, Mr. Mark Herleman.
And Star people, how are you doing?
We should totally use that more often.
Well, yeah, we need another drop. We need a George Takei. Oh, my. Oh, me. Yeah,
you know, I used to think that was Takei, as in George Takei.
I did, too, at one time. I did at what time? We got all kinds of cool stuff to talk about. Drew Karpyshyn retires from BioWare. A sad day. Also,
but
how
he'll
much
keep writing. He's going to keep writing.
How much would the Death Star actually cost? A new Lucasfilm facility could mean implications for future productions of Star Wars entertainment. And, of course, a number of Star Wars Kickstarter projects have come to light and passed. It's a really cool introduction into the Star Wars community as to how cool we are and supportive of each other. It's really awesome to talk about this kind of stuff. Let's get straight into it. Let's talk about the latest news from the Star Wars community. Here we go.
We have something to report.
Sir, closer, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Let's jump into our Super Happy Fan Times Rapid Fire News segment, in which Riley tries to talk as fast without getting tongue-tied. As I tease, Drew Karpyshyn retires from BioWare. I'm very sad to hear this. The author of so many great Bane novels and Old Republic novels and so much of the writing in the Old Republic game retires from BioWare, but he does continue his writing career, and we will follow it with great interest.
And George Lucas was given the Vanguard Award from the NAACP for Red Tails. Congratulations, George.
Definitely an honor to be recognized by the organization for his research into the subject and his portrayal of American heroes. Yeah, and as I said in the teaser, the Star Wars filming locations of the U.S. Kickstarter project is finished and it will be made. It is fully funded. I cannot wait. I think a cross-country trip might be in store for Bethany and I in the next couple of years as we visit some of these exotic locations.
Nice.
Looking forward to that project a lot. And let's jump into it right at the beginning of this episode. Episode 36 of the Star Wars Report is brought to you by ToyHut.com. They're awesome. And go.
Well, I noticed recently that ToyHut.com has a Star Wars 101 collecting guide. And this is a really interesting thing where it just tells you all about the different things that you can collect, all the different acronyms. They have a large list of acronyms, which is good.
Yeah.
Because you know, everyone who gets really in depth with anything starts using a ton of acronyms. And if you're new to the subject, you get completely confused.
So who knew POJJFF stands for Power of the Jedi Force File?
Okay.
The more you know. But yeah, you head over to ToyHut.com. That's ToyHut with two T's.
They also have, if you're looking to purchase a number of Star Wars items in the near future, they have a sale right now. If you purchase $75 worth of stuff, things and stuff, you get 20% off of whatever you purchase.
Yeah, and once again,
20% off of your stuff!
Mm-hmm. Head over to ToyHut.com. Remember, that's spelled ToyHut with two T's, and one of the best ways to do that is to go to our show notes for episode 36 on StarWarsReport.com. Clickety-clack that link button, and have an awesome time shopping for Star Wars paraphernalia.
Hello, and welcome back to SourceFed. I'm Lee Newton.
And I'm Joe Beretta.
Star Wars news. In super duper awesome dork news, students at Lehigh University in Pennsylvania worked out how much it would cost to actually build a Death Star and came up with the figure, are you ready? 8.1 $1 quadrillion.
That's not a thing.
It is.
Whoa.
It is a thing. Which is actually 13,000 times the world's gross domestic product, meaning the entire world's assets. 13,000 times $14.58 trillion. Wow.
To put that into perspective, it goes million, billion, trillion, quadrillion. And it would take 8.1 quadrillion to do it. One quadrillion is 1 million, 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 million.
That's a lot of them.
Which begs the question, how rich is the empire? How rich is Darth Vader? Is he single? I mean, I know he went to the dark side, but I feel like he could change him, and I feel like there's still good in him, you know? Also, how high would that American Express limit be?
And it also begs the question, what kind of tax cuts did the stormtroopers get to get this thing made? And also, how did those students even come to this figure?
Well, apparently the first Death Star was reported to have measured 140 kilometers in diameter and thought to be made of steel. Then the students looked at modern warships and thought that it might have similar density. And they calculated that from the iron in the earth, you could make over 2 billion Death Stars.
Wait, so we could make a Death Star?
I mean, yeah, technically, Joe, we
need
raw materials, but, I mean, no.
Get on it, world!
Not so fast, buddy. According to the study, it would actually take 833,315 years to actually produce the steel and begin building.
Well, then we should start right now!
Agreed, and maybe this time, don't pop a Womp Rat-sized hole in it that could really bring the whole operation down.
Womp Rats. I used to bullseye those suckers back in my T-16 back home. Good times.
Good times.
I'm gonna let you have this.
Thank you.
So if we actually had the resources...
And there it is. How much would it cost to build a Death Star? Let's do it! Get on it,
so
world.
Many zeros, it's no-worthy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a big fat pile of money.
Well, one interesting thing about this study was the students actually, one reason they arrived at this cost, this massive cost, was they looked at how modern warships are built and the type of steel and the amount of steel that they use. So that's one reason they came to that type of cost.
Although... A much more cost-effective facility that's being built is a Lucasfilm Productions facility. They're planning a new digital production facility in Marin County, California. It took another step as public officials voted unanimously to allow the project to move forward this past Monday. According to a source on the MarinIJ.com, some neighbors had cited concerns over such a massive complex coming to the community, but Lucas's history of environmental responsibility seemed to help his cause for the new studio. And so he basically wants to transform 52 acres, count them, into a three-story digital technology production center flanked by two towers... rising amid the 187 acres of open space.
That sounds pretty rad.
It's Lucas Towers.
Yeah, I know.
Instead of Wayne Tower.
Yeah, it gives you this whole sort of...
There will be a big Jar Jar in shadow logo on either end.
It's Lucas Land.
Yeah, exactly. So outside plans include 9 bridges spanning creeks as well as a 4,000-square-foot cave... to age casks of wine from the filmmaker's 35 acres of vineyards. Excavating material will be used to build a knoll hiding. You know, only George Lucas, you know, I want a cave for all of my wine from the vineyards. So.
No, you don't get it. I don't want a man cave. I want a man's cave.
Yeah, exactly.
One thing that's interesting to me is apparently even in these somewhat economic troubling times for the United States, Lucasfilm is growing. They're growing. In order to just build a whole new facility like that, they have to be.
They must be the 1%.
Oh, no. We're not going there.
Okay.
Pull it to a halt. And now, to be very transparent, Bethany and I put this in the rapid fire news segment right at the beginning until I got a tweet, actually, from Anthony Madden. He's a somewhat frequent contributor. One of our most loyal listeners is often giving us feedback, so we thank him for that. But he sent me a tweet earlier today. And it's in the show notes if I can find it. Here we go.
It says, at the Riley here. Guy, by the way, thanks for the great podcast. And do you think Lucas got this to do his Star Wars TV series?
In other words, could this studio be used to put the live show that has been rumored for a long, long
the
time?
The live show, yes.
The live
the
show.
The Jay Leno.
No.
The Jar Jar Binks talk show.
No.
New guests every Monday.
No.
Oh, No. He's talking about the live action series, and I didn't think about this, but they keep talking about how they need digital technology to move forward, and it's just not cost effective. And if they're proposing if they're proposing a fracking wine cellar. or wine cave, excuse me. I think that that might be enough that they're investing in that huge digital studio complex. Oh, wow.
But it's very interesting to me that this could definitely be used for the production and the creation of a Star Wars live-action television show.
Of a Death Star.
No, not a live.
Construction begins. I will deal with your rebel friends soon enough. It's interesting because it kind of goes to that parallel. One thing I often hear is a complaint that George Lucas has all this money and this vast amount of wealth, and he can't spend it on the live action series. Why doesn't he spend it on the live action series? And I've kind of brushed those aside, but there might be a little bit of legitimacy to that. I don't know. What do you think, Bethany? It's because that's a big facility, and I think that might be where he is putting his money where his mouth is, and investing into a new digital future that Lucasfilm will be the driving force behind, that will lead the movie industry once again into the future, as I think is quite possible. Mm-hmm. And actually, let me put it this way: I think any leadership book, anything that references leader, says a leader can leave the organization and it won't crumble and it will go on to do great things. And it's kind of like Apple and the passing of Steve Jobs this past year. With the iPad announcement the other day, there's just as much hype, and Apple seems to be doing just as well. Now, I mean, stock has gone down, but it's still a successful, viable company. If Steve Jobs had left the company, he'd passed on, and then, you know, the company crashed and burned, then that wouldn't be much in the way of for Steve Jobs, in terms of, it's not much of a recommendation for him as a leader, but considering that Apple's still doing well, that's a good thing. So parallel
well,
that with
you know,
Lucas
has got like a contingency plan. You know, as soon as he passes away, there's going to be doors in every single office of every building that he has employees, and all of a sudden these stormtroopers are going to walk out, and it's going to be like all... I mean, it's going to be on. I mean, there's going to be people running everywhere. It's going to be complete pandemonium. The 501st is going to shut it all down. We're doomed. We got to get George like some continuous life serum like Nick Fury drank.
Well, there's something like that, but that could be that very well could be the case. But to draw the parallel between George Lucas and Steve Jobs is that I think he's being ready to where Lucasfilm is going to be a driving force in the movie making industry long after George Lucas has left us. And I really hope that that is also with the Star Wars franchise. And this might be a very good step towards that.
Going to those little movies, and there's a French type name for them. I can't possibly even pronounce it if someone were to give it to me. But I, you know, the way Anthony brings it up, I mean, I could see George using that as a place to do, like, with those films even, where they rehearse it and stuff, because it sounded like he was going to be doing those live at coffee shows, you know, where they're playing the film at a coffee house kind of thing. So I could see him recording it at the studio and using that too. I mean, you know, he never does anything just one-dimensional. There's always multiple reasons behind every little thing he does, so you always have to wonder what else he's going to be using it for. You know, I mean,
yeah,
the live action's a great theory, but I could see him totally making these little movies that he wants to do there as well,
the art house type films that he's mentioned. I could see that.
Well, moving on to the next news story, thanks to theforce.net for a nice little summary of this information, but Drew Karpyshyn's novel Old Republic novel gets a title. It will be called Annihilation. And you can add a couple of exclamation. Yeah, exactly.
Alex Irvine's Nomi Sunrise novel was axed due to changes in direction and concepts in the overall publishing plans. And that's a quote.
That's kind of
I'm
sad.
Taking the conspiracy theorist hat and putting it on. It's a trap. It's all Jeep's fault. They're little Sunrider soft top Jeeps. It's all their fault, man. Keeping Nomi down.
Man.
Yeah, I haven't read anything with Nomi Sunrider in it, but the novel itself seemed like it would have been interesting. Very different kind of take. I've been enjoying these Sithy novels, but this would have been another similar to me in that it would kind of go off on its own, kind of explore a different aspect of it would be good. Star Wars. So
Bethany,
I am sad.
You need to go out and go down to the comic book store. And maybe even Riley needs to get this for your birthday.
Okay.
But it's a little trade paperback called Redemption. You don't have to read the other stories about Ulick to know that he has a tragic past. But that one comic, you're going to get all the Sunrider action. You'll know exactly why they're awesome and why we needed this book.
Okay. I'll have to do that. A new The Zahn novel time frame has been presented. Timothy Zahn's original trilogy era book about Han Solo. I always hesitate when
Han.
I do.
Han.
Han.
Han. Han Solo. Repeat after me.
Man.
Han Solo. Anyway, Timothy Zahn's Han Solo book will be out this winter. Yay!
Winter.
I like Han Solo.
Winter is coming.
not the Game of Thrones.
Han
winter.
Solo is coming. He oh, shot goodness. First.
So I think fans are overall pretty excited about this. To have a book that's focused on Han Solo isn't something we've seen for a little while, though it has been done before. We could have gotten more variety, shall I say, from a Nomi Sunrider book. But everyone loves Han, or at least most people do.
Yeah.
And most people love Ocean's 11. I mean, come on, Han Solo's 11? This is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Mark,
what are you looking forward to about this book? Just if you can name one thing.
I'm curious to see where he goes. I mean, Zahn gets blamed for doing a lot of the Mary Sue action, so I'm kind of curious as to, is Thrawn going to have a hand in this? And that's more a curiosity. I don't really care one way or another if he does bring Zahn in or Thrawn in, because I like Zahn's Thrawn. But I think the aspect of Han Solo, Ocean's 11 really appeals to me. I like those type of movies. The bank job, Italian job, you know, anytime you see that kind of stuff. And I would like to see Han in a role where he's getting over on the gangster, you know, because we see him in the movies and the gangsters, you know, he's on the wrong side of that shoe. So it'll be really cool to see him actually take something from someone, because that's how Ocean's 11, you know, worked out. It was kind of like a revenge in a way, but it was a good revenge. It was the good guys were getting their just desserts, and you know, that's always something. And as a Jedi fanatic, that I always wanted to see like a Punisher type Jedi, you know, one that could come and just hammer them back and get revenge without being dark. And it seemed like we had Jason there for a while, but it didn't work out. So I like the aspect of Han. Han can't go wrong, man. He's not really attached to the Force like his son was, so he doesn't have to worry about going dark. So he can go to some really cool places, and I'm looking forward to where we're going to go with this.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a novel I would be very interested in. And yeah, definitely.
Alrighty.
McDonald's Happy Meal. Hier beginnt der Spaß mit einem Spielzeug von Star Wars, The Clone Wars, oder...
Whoa! That was insane!
I think I just burst everybody's brains, but I want to tell a little story. And it has something to do with McDonald's Happy Meals, Star Wars, and conflicting emotions.
Hold on one second, though. Mark, do you have to leave soon? Because we could...
I do indeed. Oh. Okay. I do indeed.
This may be a good time to do that, then.
Yes.
Possibly.
Yes. So long. Farewell. R2 and I say bye.
Well, it's great having you on,
yes,
Mark. We always enjoy having you.
We will, Whistler, too. We will be missing. We will be missing you for the rest of this. And stay tuned. I'll have to jump back in on my Happy Meal tale.
We know what really happened.
I just terrified you, Mark, because I played that clip, and that's really
like, oh my gosh, I gotta run! Oh, this is my cue.
All right, we'll talk to you very soon, Mark.
That's right, and may the Force be with you, listeners, always.
Sure thing. See you later, Mark. Oh my goodness! So yeah, it was a time war. There are heroes on both sides. No, I wanted to talk about Star Wars Happy Meals and conflicting emotions. I actually took this as a quick note as we were where was it? It was way back in February, and we were visiting over at my grandmother's house, and one of my cousin's boys had a Happy Meal, and it was Star Wars. That's pretty cool. And I'd always thought it was just interesting to me because Star Wars, I think, can kind of... One thing that is a touchy topic these days is how much we interact with the chat room. And that's really controversial. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, no. Goodness.
A controversial topic these days is fitness, especially among underaged kids, and how fast food has radically changed this country, and the obesity rate, especially among kids these days, has grown. You know, school lunches, healthy meals, that sort of thing. And so as part of it, McDonald's has recently made some changes to their Happy Meals to make them a little bit healthier. Instead of fries, you can get apples with them. That sort of thing. So I remember I took notice of this, and I would never buy a Happy Meal, and I wouldn't be exposed to it other than this. And I saw the Clone Wars toy that the young man was playing with, and I just thought it was kind of interesting because I have an interesting reaction with fitness because, you know, being a cadet in the Civil Air Patrol program, and I can almost attribute this back to Star Wars because Jedi are always in really good shape and they can do all kinds of cool stuff, and you can't do that.
Yes, they are.
If you're overweight, do we know any overweight Jedi?
There are probably a few out there.
Somewhere.
Somewhere.
Larry the Jedi is somewhere.
Why is it Larry?
I don't... Mo. The Jedi.
You've been watching the VeggieTales, haven't you?
No. Bob. So that it is a controversial topic, and I was thinking about this when I saw the Happy Meal, because yesterday I got accepted to the Advanced Pararescue Jumper Orientation Course at Davis Mothem Air Force Base this summer. 4 months and counting while I'll be doing some physical training, fun stuff like that. Sort of real-world Jedi, Air Force pararescueman. And so I'll be doing some training there this summer. And I'm looking forward to that, but it just invoked in me this conflicting emotion, and I really just wanted to talk about it in that. Do you think Star Wars has room for fitness, and do you think that the Star Wars brand is hurt? Because I would make this case that the Star Wars brand is hurt by tying themselves to McDonald's, someone who's so much struggled with public opinion on the health of their food, mm-hmm. to where they've really tried to change their image, like changing the meals to the contents of the Happy Meal.
Yeah. Do you remember on Twitter a little while ago when they did hashtag
McD stories?
Yeah.
Yes.
That was such a fiasco.
Whatever PR person at McDonald's thought that starting a hashtag of McD stories, I remember having the delicious meal with my grandmother before she died of a heart attack. McD stories. And so people started doing all these hashtags. But yes,
it's PR disaster.
I wanted to bring it up, Bethany, because I think it's an interesting thing because fitness is something we both care about. And I think that it's something that many young people struggle with. And Star Wars is appealing to young people. And I think it's... you know, Luke Skywalker on Dagobah.
I think every other aspect of Star Wars that is inspiring and motivating and shows us the consequences of our decisions, as we've spoken of many times before in comparing and contrasting Luke Skywalker versus Anakin Skywalker, and, you know, just comparing the different characters to each other and their decisions. But Star Wars is also inspiring, I would say, not just in morals, but in fitness. It inspires you to train like a Jedi. Actually, Ashley Eckstein put up a video the other day of her with her personal trainer on YouTube.
Really?
And I think she called it something like training like a Jedi or training to be a Jedi.
Well, there was
like that
Jedi Fitness Club in New York, wasn't it? Or something like that, where they were...
it's like a Jedi Martial Arts Club, and I completely forget the name of it. But
yeah, but it's interesting because you have that going on. I think there are connections to be made. All that being said, we spend an exorbitant amount of time as youngsters battling with lightsabers and getting bloody knuckles. and that was a huge part of Bethy and my childhood is playing outside with... remember that game, that Bounty Hunter game we came up with?
Yeah.
So we would make up our own rules to games whenever we could. We'd go over to friend's house.
Normal games were just too boring.
Six hours on a Saturday, we would go over to a friend's house and we would say, well, you're allowed to have shields, grenades, and lightsabers. And the main thing was thermal detonators. And thermal detonators have a range of 6 feet. I kid you not, we would make this up. It would have a range of like 6 feet.
I remember this.
And if the Easter egg that was filled with pebbles that was then taped
so that it wouldn't come apart and be dangerous.
It seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yeah.
It really did. If we within 6 to 10 feet of the person,
then you were dead.
Then you were dead. And we're out of the game. And so teams of bounty hunters, and I'm doing air quotes, would run around and hurl these Easter eggs filled
thermal
with pebbles.
Detonators, Riley. Thermal detonators.
At each other. and attempt to kill you. It was way more fun than playing video games, I'll tell you that. Although we did play our share of Mario Kart, but that's another story for another day. But Star Wars Happy Meals, is it a bad idea? Is it a good idea? I'm not sure it's the best idea, although it is, I think, part of McDonald's trying to change their public image, and maybe Star Wars will help.
Yeah.
Everyone knows.
Oh, and it was interesting, that circumstance, because, you know, our young nephew who had the toys was quite excited about it. Then one of my cousins actually walked up and started saying, "You're eating a Happy Meal?" And just kind of this, not quite outrage, but definitely a, "Oh my word, this is so unhealthy. I can't believe he's doing this," kind of a thing. And so she started explaining about how it's made from the eyeballs of chickens squished up together.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
Actually, she did say that.
Oh, I know she did, but it was questionably truthful. But it certainly got the young man to reconsider his chicken nuggets, I'll tell you that.
He didn't finish them, though he did go off with the toy and play for it for a while.
Yeah. Admiral Akbar speaks. There's a new interview with the original trilogy voice of Admiral Akbar, Eric Bowersfeld.
I think.
Eric Bowersfeld, Mocker Smith person. Eric Bowersfeld, there's a new interview with the website nerdapproved.com, and very rare appearance from the voice of Admiral Akbar. This interview is a couple minutes long, but it's some very insightful stuff, and I think you guys would be very interested. Right after the break, our tribute to the artist Ralph McQuarrie, but first, the Eric Bowersfeld interview. See, I said it. There we go.
If I get a credit card offer and it's got like a 59% APR, I immediately blurt out, "It's a trap! It's a trap!"
There he
like
is.
That? Yeah, like that. You do it.
It's a trap!
Eric Bowersfeld led the KPFA's drama and literature department for 31 years. A very respected radio dramatist. He also voiced Admiral Akbar.
To the room where Brandon and I were working, and he knew that I did a lot of radio and voice stuff. And he said, do you want to try out for some voices for Star Wars? We're doing the Jedi movie. And he showed me the picture of Admiral Akbar, and I did it.
Admiral, we have enemy ships in Sector 27. It's a trap.
So you say you did it.
I mean, I just did it.
You just came up with a voice? They didn't give you any direction?
Well, I saw the face, and I knew what he must sound like. And I did it. I was doing that a lot.
In one take?
In one take.
Yeah.
And it was just an hour. And then he said, "Why don't you do this thing for Bib Fortuna?"
They want a wonga.
And so I did that in, I don't know, half hour.
But you didn't get credit for
it? No, there's no credit. Yeah. And so nobody knew that I existed until it got around somehow or other. I don't know how that happened. These just came this week or last
some
week.
Some autographs.
They're very nice.
Fan mail.
They write very nice letters, and they come from all over the world. This one said, "I want to thank you for writing me back when I was in the correctional facility." He was in prison. "But I'm out now and bettering my life. How is your health? Could you please autograph this photo for me?" Well, one of the things that people send is a package. And in the package are these two characters. And the package is sealed with cellophane or plastic.
Oh, yeah.
And they say, "Would you sign these for me?" And I never know what to do. It seems to me I don't want to open their box and destroy the nice
and,
little
and
thing.
These, and these
write, where would I write
really
it?
Really small.
A Bib Fortuna. But I haven't signed it yet. I just got it. And the other one, there's another one on the other side. Do these look familiar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen the movie a few times, Eric.
Oh, you have? That's right, you did. Tell me what it's about.
I was 13 years old.
That's right.
Did you just say, "Tell me what it's about"?
Yeah. I mean, why was Bib Fortuna? He was the bad guy, wasn't he? I almost got the part of who is that little philosopher that he eventually had in the series?
Yoda.
Uh-huh. And the publicity has got it wrong. I was listed as the first audition for Yoda, but it was the last. Uh-huh. Because when I was here one day, Ben Burtt asked me if I'd like to try out for Yoda. So I gave him a voice that he liked very much.
Do you remember it?
Yes.
Can you do it now?
I don't know if I can do it now. It probably would sound the way I'm sounding now. But he was a little round man, you know, and he was a little elderly, but he was a serious man like that. And he could be... talk very low, but he could also be heard.
Do you hope at all that the people who are into this will somehow discover some of your work in radio drama? I mean, are you...
Well, that's another very important question. I would like that to happen, but the kind of radio drama I do is not like the Jedi movie.
I cannot bear this suffering. My head is on fire, and everything goes round me in circles.
That's totally Admiral Akbar. I don't know what he's talking about.
I wanted to finally show my mother and father that I was doing something in California. So I said, I'm in this movie. Will you come and I'll show you what voice it was? And so my mother and aunt came with me to a little theater in Forest Hills, and... picture went on, and the moment was coming up, and then finally Akbar was there, and I said, Mom, that's me. And she said, shh. She didn't care at all. She was taken by the movie.
Wow. As we all were.
As we all were, indeed.
Yes. Well, I have a sad announcement to make that all of you probably already know, but the man, the legend... a person who inspired many of us passed away on March 3rd. Ralph McQuarrie, the man who designed Darth Vader. It was a very sad day for the concept art world. Ralph McQuarrie, the artist who created concept designs for the first Star Wars trilogy, the original Battlestar Galactica television show, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, E.T., and other science fiction classics, has passed away. Passed away at the age of 82. He set our minds on fire and made so many of us fall in love with science fiction. He will be missed. Thank you, IO9, for posting that nice memory.
Yeah. It's a terrible tragedy, and I remember hearing about it and on the place that we all learn about these things now, and that was Twitter. And it's certainly not shocking, but it is sad because my immediate thought was... one, how I think people sometimes don't appreciate, if they don't know anyway, if they're ignorant of it, the amazing work that Ralph did for all these franchises and how much it affected us. I mean, it's a matter of what you accomplish with your life. And whenever a sad story like this comes forward, you really stop and think about these kinds of things, because the man created the imagery behind, I think, one of the most inspiring franchises of all time, and that's Star Wars. And I think it wouldn't be what it was without Ralph McQuarrie. And if at the end of your life you can say nothing more than, you know, I helped design Star Wars, that means you had a profound impact on the inspiration and imaginations of millions and millions of people. And I think that's certainly a legacy that is definitely worth having.
George Lucas actually wrote of an article about this and said, I am deeply saddened by the passing of such a visionary artist and such a humble man. Ralph McQuarrie was the first person I hired to help me envision Star Wars. When words could not convey my ideas, I could always point to one of Ralph's fabulous illustrations and say, do it like this.
Yep. And something I saw on Twitter, and I said this on We Talk Clones, Bethany and I were on a recent episode, and the news had just broken at that point, and I said it then, and I'll say it again. I saw someone say on Twitter, I think it was very apt, and that was, they said, you know, George Lucas is considered the maker, but Ralph was the creator. And I think that's so true. He's very responsible for bringing so many of the amazing visuals of Star Wars to life. And I feel like even that's sometimes underselling it, because it's not just about painting. It's about you creating a world in pictures. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
As Nathan Hamill said, Rest in peace, Ralph McQuarrie. My childhood was more joyous because of you. Yeah. This episode of the Star Wars Report is dedicated to the artist, to the inspiration, Ralph McQuarrie.
Yeah. And I would just say, I think we'll just do an out, Bethany. I don't think there's much more that can be said than that. So thanks to everyone for tuning in, and let's remember those who've passed, whether it's Irvin Kershner or Ralph McQuarrie or all these people who've contributed to this world. I think we owe them a huge debt of gratitude for the world that they created, and in Ralph's case, as I said, I'll say it again, a world in pictures.
Said to me at the bus stop, would you like to see the future? He said, I've been there once or twice. I think you'd like it if I show you around. He opened up his old faded notebook. Before I knew it, we were talking. His paintings hit me strange, but were familiar as he spread them on the ground. And the people just can't help but only believe in things they can see. The movies cost them millions, but the important part is free. Worlds and pictures, just paint and lines, a flight of wonder. Trip through space and time. Old men in exile aren't what they seem. A flying fortress where robots dream. Reluctant champions, a village in the trees. When just an empty canvas can show you things like these. Some will think it's just too peculiar to live what they imagine. Most will just assume that they've forgotten and they never even try. So learn to always keep yourself familiar with the things we knew as children. And ward off every fading that can splinter. Dives in your mind's eye, worlds and pictures, just painted lines, a flight of wonder, a trip through space and time, old men in exile, on what they see, a flying fortress where robots dream. Reluctant champions, a village in the trees, with just an empty canvas, can show you things like these. A man said to me at a bus stop, would you like to see the future? Worlds and pictures, just painted lines, makes light a wonder. And trips through space and time, old men in exile aren't what they seem. A flying fortress where robots dream. Reluctant champions, a village in the trees. It's just an empty canvas. Ships soar over, the act begins. With desert dragons and scoundrel friends. A master's wisdom, a father's sword, a tyrant's